Welcome to Grace 102.9 Cherokee Talk Radio. I am Kimberly, and I am your host. Today, we have some interesting folks visiting us from New Covenant Bible Church in Canton. We have a deacon at New Covenant, Sean Cavanaugh. Hi, Sean.
Hi. Thank you.
And we also have an elder, Nick Richardson. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you for asking us. Yeah. Hello.
So I understand that both of you gentlemen are involved with a missions outreach type ministry. What was the name of that again?
We call it WSM, which stands for Widows and Single Moms Ministry.
Okay. You want to share a little bit more about the ministry in general?
Sure. Be happy to.
Okay.
So our primary focus is on widows and single moms, and one of the reasons why we specifically look at Guatemala, we have been a part of a medical missions ministry for over 15 to 20 years in Guatemala, and in one of our annual visits during the summer, we typically share the gospel with the local Guatemalans, and we had a 15-year-old female who came into one of our gospel stations, is what we call it when we sit and have these conversations. And she was a young woman who was also without a husband. She had recently had a child, so about a year prior, and that child was conceived in a violent situation. So here we had this female who was very young with a child who had no husband. And she also lived with a mother who was an alcoholic. And so as my wife was talking with her to encourage her and to pray with her, we realized that she had an immediate need for food. She had no way to get food and she was struggling. So we met that need financially. And after we got back from this trip, we realized that, you know, maybe there's something more we could do for this specific village as we thought about the extreme poverty. And after talking with several other members of our church, we decided maybe we should start a ministry that specifically supports this local village in Los Lirios and target ways to help widows and single moms. And we'll work with a local pastor so that we're not pushing something onto the local community, but we're actually finding out what they need and what resources that we may be able to bring.
And what you could do to support an existing ministry.
Exactly.
Okay, so for our listeners, just to clarify a little bit, there was a church which you were working with in advance, and then it turned into more of an ongoing participative relationship?
Sort of. So what happens is that every year we would attend a ministry called Medical Missions Ministry. And the primary focus was to visit various villages across Guatemala to specifically provide basic medical support and also share the gospel with locals. And so during one of our visits to this village, this is where we had this interaction with this young girl.
Okay.
And it really moved my wife and another colleague. And from that discussion and from that event, spawned, it was the genesis for WSM, which is the Widows and Single Moms Ministry.
You know, as soon as you said that, what came to mind is how Christ just was moved with compassion.
Exactly.
And in doing so, so many things change.
Yeah, and so one of the things that we thought about was, you know, we know that we have resources that we can bring to bear, both financial, spiritual, but we really did not know specifically what that would look like. So this was not a situation of where we had this curriculum and this program that we were bringing to this local community. It was more about meeting with a local pastor, working alongside him, finding out what the need was, and trying to understand more about the culture and how we could support them in any way, really. And partly, as you think about Guatemala is very evangelized. I believe around 98 to 99% are some of the stats they say around evangelists, how much of it's evangelized. What many people may not realize is that it's very influenced by domestic violence and machismo, machoism. About, you know, when you look at the community, about 60% live on $7 to $8 a day. Very poor. About half of the children over the age of 15 are illiterate. the crime there is so high that even our State Department had labeled Guatemala as critical. 42% of Guatemalans don't have access to clean water. So as you think about this, it's not just about, you know, let's go and evangelize in another location in Guatemala. It was really about how can we provide all of the resources that we have, you know, access to as Americans? How can we assist them not only spiritually, but also physically?
Sure.
And so that was one of the critical elements of this, and not just providing that support, but really working with that local pastor so that the community sees him and his church as the primary source of the resources, and it's not coming from the Americans.
Right, and they're developing that relationship with a community-wide relationship.
Exactly.
So there's that trust factor and community with each other, too, which is so, so important. How about you, Richard? Do you have anything to share at this point? Or
sure do. I was privileged this year to go for my first time to be a part of this ministry, the Widows and Singles and Mothers. And what happened was Pastor Marco, the pastor of the local church there in Los Lirios, is the village that we have been going to, he asked for us to bring some teaching on marriage. And so that we've held a class or a Sunday school class, if you will, at our church called The Art of Marriage. And so in doing that, it was seemed like a perfect fit for what Pastor Marco was asking for. And The Art of Marriage is a video series that's published by Family Life Ministries, which was a part of the Campus Crusade.
Right.
And so we found that they had the video, they produced it in Spanish with English subtitles, which was kind of interesting. So we, my wife and I, she's been going on this trip along with Sean the last 4 years but prior. And so I said, can we do this class together, you know, the two of us with some help? And so we just facilitate, you know, the video series, but we brought out the talking points. And what was neat is we divided it up. It's a 6-session class, if you will, video series. And we divided it up in half. So we only did half of it this time when we went. But we had the class divided up for the women first, because of the logistics of having a lot of people come, say, on a Wednesday night, you know, that kind of thing. So we had the women one day, men the second day, and then we had couples the third day. And so we tried to cover everything between those two groups. And we were very surprised when the men, there was lots of young men, like 12, you know, we weren't expecting that at 12 years old, up to 50, 60 years old. You know, men, and we had about 30 for the men's class the first day. And we talked about God's design and his plan for marriage. And you know, we go through the fall, you know, how men and women have their own ideas about what marriage looks like. And then we struggle with each other's sin, basically. Mm-hmm. And then God's design is for the man to love his wife like Christ loved the church. You know, that's really what it's based on is to teach how to love one another as Christ loves us and forgives us. And so then the third night we had the couples, and every meeting was a surprise because for the couples time, we thought we'd have dessert, you know, and whatnot. And the local Guatemalans produced everything that for serving the people that came, but it was a big occasion, big deal for them. So that was exciting to see how much they loved presenting this. And then we worked through translators. I don't speak much Spanish at all. It would be laughable, you know, if I tried to. But so we had translators, and even in amongst the translators, and my wife had a lady translating for her, we just had this connection with the people that we were teaching, and I believe that they are very looking forward to us coming back. We're going to do the second half of it, hopefully within this next year.
It's amazing how rewarding it can be to do something so simple that we take for granted here.
Sure.
In the States. I'm curious, why Guatemala?
Great question. And primarily it started because we were attached to another ministry, and Guatemala was a country that we were visiting with a medical missions ministry, and it had been an annual trip. So we were already there as a part of another ministry. And so that introduced us to this local community. But as you think about Guatemala, it is a male-dominated society. Domestic violence is extremely high. I think some statistics show in 2015 that approximately 800 women were murdered, and most of those murders go without any type of actual conviction. And so violence is accepted. And not only is it accepted and it's taught through the parents and the way that they treat others, but also it's accepted so much so that you even have it as a part of the Christian community. So it's very ingrained in the culture. And that's one of the reasons why we are very focused on not only teaching the women, but we focus on the men as well. And that discussion is around very tough topics, everything from dealing with pornography to how to treat women, how to treat children. And we're very direct, so direct that, as Nick had mentioned, that we work with translators. One of our translators on our first trip, who was a male, said that in all of his years in Guatemala, he's never heard anyone speak to the Guatemalan men so directly and about such a sensitive topic.
Wow.
That is directly addressing the cultural norms there, which are, from a Christian perspective, pretty abhorrent. So we realized after that discussion that what we were doing was really bigger than what we had planned, because we had planned to just come alongside and support specifically the widows and single moms. But we realized that as we are doing this, there is a need to address the men and work with the men. And mm-hmm. so that's why we're focusing on curriculum like Mighty Men and trying to teach them as well.
Okay. The now you're sitting here sharing, and there's so many different questions that are kind of bopping through my head. When culturally, is that, would you relate that to any type of religious background, or would it just be just generations of that's just how it is there?
Yeah, I don't think it's around religious. I think it's more around the cultural norms.
Okay.
And it's very prevalent. You know, when we're there, it feels very safe and we feel very comfortable. But there are many times when we're told this is not a place to walk around at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a safe place. One of the widows that we deal with, her sister, who was 21 years old, had been shot 6 times, and her mother was murdered in front of her.
Oh my gosh.
So this is a culture that we're typically not used to seeing in, you know, United States. I mean, certainly in certain places of the United States.
Right, I was going to say, there are places in the United States.
But overall, this is a common occurrence in Guatemala, whether it is through, weapons, whether it's through physical abuse. But there is clearly a culture of male dominance in that community.
And what are your future plans as you move?
We have several future plans. Part of what we're going to be doing as we go back year over year is focusing on the art of marriage. This last trip, we covered a couple of the sections of the manual and going through the curriculum. But we will continue to do that. We will also continue to work with the men on their on the teaching of Mighty Men. So we will continue to teach on those aspects of what we've been doing previously. But we also want to look at possibly some areas that we can provide some vocational training or maybe assistance to help the community to get some sort of training.
Are the men receptive to this? You know, is it a slow process in getting the change to occur with them, or are they pretty accepting?
It is a slow process. Mm-hmm. I think the greatest indicator of the success that we've seen so far is that on the first trip that I went on and we were teaching, we had about 6 to 8 men that showed. The second time, we had about 20 that showed.
Wow.
This last time, we had around 40.
That's wonderful.
So each time that we go back, there are more and more that are attending. And not only is it the men that are attending, but we're also starting to see younger boys that are coming. And that's really where the door is opening, because if we can teach these young children at a younger age about domestic violence and what Scripture says about how to love one another and how to treat women specifically, then we're hoping that cultural change will happen sooner than later.
Do you find yourself in a lot of evangelistic opportunities there, or?
I wouldn't say a lot, but they do happen. And one of the things that we do is ask for prayers from the local community, and we go back and pray for them each night. We had a woman who was asking for prayer for her young boy because he had some anger issues, and so we prayed for him that evening. The next morning, when we went back to the village to talk with him, he came up and said, "I'd like to learn more about Jesus." And so after 15 or 20 minutes, he confessed that he wanted to follow Jesus.
Wonderful.
And so it was a very nice opportunity to share the gospel when our intent originally was just to pray for the young boy for his struggles with anger.
God has other plans.
That's exactly right. And we've seen that several different times.
What about the women? Are you teaching the women anything specific, or how are you?
We have a lady that is part of our team. Mm-hmm. She has held a couple of classes on abuse and, you know, just talking about how what a woman's value is in Christ, you know, and using the example of Rahab and the Samaritan woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife's been involved in that kind of teaching. And these past couple of years, there's been a huge turnout, and they have a celebration where they talk about the women being daughters of the King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they even had crowns.
Yeah, like princess,
like
tiaras.
Princess, like tiaras. Yeah, they mm-hmm. made flower crowns out of flowers, and big celebration. And I was talking to my wife before we came today, and she talked about how the women kind of remember those previous the teachings that they've received, and how encouraged they were, and how it changed their lives. You know, mm-hmm. to have that hope.
Well, Christ. You can imagine in a culture where women are, you know, not, there sounds like they're more objectified and just not really having that sense of my daddy, you know, is a king. And so the whole
amen.
Princess concept is just, that is life altering for a woman.
And we've also brought some other teaching. Last year, they did True Identity. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've heard of that.
I have.
But it's
why don't you tell our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It's specific to, again, bring into the forefront a woman's value in Christ and their true identity in Christ and how to understand what the Scriptures are teaching and to be able to be encouraged, you know, through that. And that was part of the whole thing about the daughters of the King, you know, stemmed from that. So mm-hmm. true identity really made a big difference.
Well, it's just wonderful that the way that you're going about it, and now the marriage, the connection on the marriage thing will really make a big difference, I'm sure,
well,
as
Sean,
you continue to move forward.
Sean and I were talking just before we came, and about some, you know, some go and minister in ways of building, you know, construction or helping people to maybe build wells or buildings or whatever, and that's their. What's a good word?
That's really their gifting.
Their gifting.
Right.
And actually, in our conversations with one organization, I asked them if they do any teaching or sharing of the gospel. And the gentleman very frankly said, "No, we don't, because my gift and our team's gift is building." And I said, "Well, that's great, because our gift is in teaching and evangelizing. So it's a very nice partnership that we have." And we do provide support financially for these widows to receive new homes. And so we've done that. I think we've had about 4 or 5 to date. And each year when we go back, we talk with the local pastor and ask him if there is a widow who is in need of a home. And just to give you a couple of words to describe their living conditions, they literally live in a 10 by 10 shed. It has 10 walls and a 10 roof. Typically, the ceiling or the walls is rusted through. They have a dirt floor. Most have no power, no running water, and they may live in a facility like that with 3 children, 4 children. And so for a widow, especially a widow, a very challenging environment. And so what we do is we provide the local pastor with funds so that he manages the finances and the money. He employs local workers and construction workers, and they build a brand new block home with a cement floor, with doors and windows, and the widows are absolutely beside themselves excited about receiving the new homes. And it's been wonderful to see the transformation of the before and after. And so, again, you know, our goal is not to come in and just do what we think needs to be done, because as we know with ministry, sometimes they can become very messy, mm-hmm. and good intentions can turn into bad situations. Sure. And so we want to be very sensitive to that. So every time we have a trip and come back from a trip, we talk about it and we say, you know, what can we do? What should we do? What makes sense? And let's make sure that the local pastor's on board with our thoughts, and let's get his thoughts, because we want to make sure that we are doing the right thing and not creating a situation, you know, whether that be unintentional.
Right.
We want to make sure that we're doing the right thing, and it's really helping and primarily focusing on critical needs.
Yeah, it's so important because, you know, we come in sometimes, like you said, and just dump some things on a mission trip that's, we don't really understand the culture. And I'm not saying we as in general, but that does happen.
Sure.
And it does create more chaos sometimes. I understand that you guys do some work with Compassion International children as well.
We do. There are several children in that community that we sponsor. And they have a lot of children in the Compassion program. And actually, both Nick and I sponsor children in that community. And it's nice when you can actually go and visit the child as well. So it's great to see the education that they're receiving and the other aspects of Compassion that are being done in that local community. It's absolutely fantastic.
That's wonderful. It's so heartwarming to know that we have local churches here that are making such a difference, even in other areas of the world. So.
Yeah, and it's really unique in that we have an opportunity, because it is a local Compassion facility, where we know who the advocate is for Compassion in that village,
mm-hmm.
and we know him personally. And so we're able to have conversations about specific children and what Compassion's doing, and it's just a unique relationship that even... You know, I know many people sponsor children through Compassion, but it's nice when you can actually visit the child, visit
Absolutely.
The community, and you know exactly what's being done.
Absolutely.
I was going to say we had the opportunity to visit the Compassion child that my wife and I support this last time we went. And his mom is also a widow. And so, and she's semi-connected with the church, you know, that we've been working with there. But so we're praying, you know, that she'll... She'll see her role as a Christ follower, you know, and we got to go and pray with them this last time. And it was kind of neat because the Compassion child, he told all of his neighbors that we were coming. And so as we arrived at their home, his friends and neighbors lined the streets. You know, we felt like we were like royalty, you know, and of course we're not, but it was very touching, you know, because...
I'll
you know,
bet.
So they were greeting us as we were walking to their home.
Yeah, those are those.
He was, because they were so excited that we could visit, you know.
Very humbling when you
very
go through
humbling,
experience
yes.
like that. And now you feel like you have extended family. I mean, literally you have extended
That's right.
family in Guatemala.
We would love to help his mom. She struggles with her vocation, and she has four children. So mm-hmm. we'd love to help somehow to get her in some vocational training, or especially to be draw near to Christ in the church there at Los Lirios. So.
Well, the Guatemalan people are very friendly, very gracious, very kind and loving, and it's just a wonderful community to work with and to be a part of in Los Lirios.
Mm-hmm. Well, gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to come and share what you're doing down in Guatemala.
Thank you.
I
would love to have you back sometime and hear more.
I'd love to come
as
back.
You progress and you know give our listeners an update on what's happening. I really commend you.
We're very blessed to be a part.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
And we are blessed to have you in the community.